What is the means of the Great Way? How does this work? Oh, how many times I've answered this for my students, my attendees. It's just too much for them. They have squandered their energies on seeking wealth, comfort, trying to satisfy their need for companionship because they can't be alone with themselves. These are the things that denigrate our life. And yet, most people would never think of them as being a part of denigration. They would think of them as keeping body and soul together, as it were. We miss. There are certain things that we must understand if we are to pick up the mantle of the Great Way that lives within us, the means of the way. We make it very difficult because it goes against the grain of our humanity. Our body dictates our life. It defines our life and eventually becomes our life. It dictates our livingness by telling us what is comfortable, what is uncomfortable, what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad. It sets the tone and tenor for a lifetime. And we never question it. Rarely does anyone look at this and question it. I have students, people who come to me in various forms of illness, mental, emotional illness. The ones who are most severe are the ones who are so disappointed with their life, so very disappointed with their life, that they can do very little with their living. They think their life is the conclusion of days and months and years, hours, seconds. That's the way they look at everything. And in doing so, they create a great dissatisfaction for their life. I can help you, but you're going to have to work upon yourself. No one can do this for you. This is something you must do for yourself. I want to begin with a basic Zen story that has been told many, many times, millions of times. I've told it to you, but it is the beginning, the basis. If you can hear this story in a new, compared to how you thought you understood it when maybe it was first presented to you by me or someone else, then something of the way, something of the means of the way can touch you. It's a simple story. A Zen master was approached by a professor of a well-known university. He was a professor of philosophy. He came to the Zen master and he said, "I have come to understand what truth is. What do you say?" The professor had come uphill and he was looking very tired and perspiring. The master said, "Please sit and rest a little while, and I will prepare tea for you." "First things first," he said. "Then we can talk later, and that is not unimportant. It is important to know that the tea is the truth." Well, the professor could not believe what he had heard. "Is this man crazy? The tea is the truth? That what tea is more important than what I came here for?" He was just boggled. The master said, "That is right. This is the means. You are tired. You are too full of thoughts. Let me help you relax a little bit. Cool down, please. Don't be much concerned about the truth right now. Just calm down. Otherwise, you will miss it." And then he presents the tea. And he brings it and pours the tea into the cup. The professor took the tea and started to pour it in his cup, holding the cup and the saucer. The cup is full, and the tea starts overflowing onto the saucer. And then the master watches. He was silent. He saw the tea overflow onto the floor. The philosopher, the professor, was embarrassed. He thought to himself, "What am I doing here? I'm pouring this tea and I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing. It's going all over the floor. I'm so sorry," he said to the master. And the master said very carefully and quietly, "You are so careful about the cup. You are not careful about your mind. Your mind is so full. I see only the junk and furniture of your mind. It is rotten. It is no good. And you want to invite the truth? You have to create a little space for the truth to come in." The professor put down his cup. He put down the pot and realized what he had done. So allow me to help you a little bit here. I'm going to give you just a simple truth. It is nothing that will blow your socks off, but still, it is a simple and powerful truth. All things in this world have neither a beginning nor an end. All things in this world have neither a beginning nor an end. Now, if you can sit with the profoundness of that, you will understand how the mind works. It categorizes everything. It looks at everything from the sense of itself, what the emotions are purporting to it. Listen just for a moment to your mind, its ramblings, its craziness, its lies. It has no truth to it at all. And its whole job is very confusing. It is to confuse us. Not everything is easy in this world because of the mind. People are always looking for a perfect mind. And they look at it through the idea and they insist on the idea of thoughts. Ideas are thoughts. Thoughts become ideas. We become attached to them. And why? Why are you and I attached to thoughts? Why? All things neither have a beginning nor an end. To understand the manner of the way is to understand that simple truth. If you understand the flow of life, you understand that our livingness has become nothing but confusion and doubt. We can't make heads nor tails of it. You can't put it in an order. You can't make a philosophy out of it. All things have neither a beginning nor an end. So what are they? If you can meditate on that, all things, they have no beginning and no end. If you can truly understand that, beyond the precepts and concepts of your mind and the thoughts you allow in your mind, how you allow them to maturate into final conclusions, as you watch your thoughts try to convince you of these final conclusions about anything in this world, about anything in your mind, if you can observe that, trust me, the game is over. The mind can then go to something else, something different, something more profound. Just sit with this. We'll meditate on this later on in this discourse, but just sit with this. You know, in a way, Zen, the teachings of Zen, which are about simplicity, solitude, and silence, seem very dangerous to the literal-minded person. Letting go of our thoughts looks like a huge risk. In fact, it looks even impossible. People are frightened to let go of their thoughts, to let go of everything. And yet, that is what it's all about. To let go of them. To no longer be captured by their contemplations, their fears, to no longer be captured by conclusion and precepts. The Tao, the manner of the way, this is not something that is very exciting. The Great Way, Lhasa said, pervades all things. It caused all things. Everything came into existence, Lhasa says, due to the Tao. So if we sit with this, if we can, all things do not have a beginning nor an end. That means my thoughts about them are obsolete, are futile. If you can see the futility of thinking, and you can risk the idea of giving up ideas, of letting go of what you believe in and what you have come to in your livingness as the totality of your life, if you can give that up, many beautiful things can enter into your life, my life. It is in these beautiful things that we find the manner of the way. No explanation can explain. No teaching can teach. This is Zen. This is life. If I use my pedestrian mentality as the Gregory Edward of the pen, I will miss it all. because he can only think the way he thinks, the way his body has been positioned and purported in me as the manner of the way, as the only way. And most people, this is all they can do. They can't go any further. They can't go any deeper. So they listen to stories and rhymes and riddles, alibis, all that are made for us to forget what we are. You are love. You are love. I have a counselee that I work with. He's not very intuitive, nor is he really into the work at all. He's a lawyer. Does that tell you something? Anyway, we talk. My purpose with him is to give him, as he put it, some sort of clarity, but the clarity he can't understand. He's into money. Money and possessions are the most important things to him. He's seeking superiority as the sense of his identity. He is ashamed of his ethnic background. So he said to me, "You know what is strange about you to me is that you tell me you love me. No man," he said, "has ever told me that they loved me. And I find it very difficult to understand. It sounds strange to my ears that you would say I love you. It's very, very interesting. You are nothing but love. You are nothing but the love of your life. Your big L life. And yet many of my students, when I tell them I love you dearly, they do not understand what that means. They are dear to my heart, not my human heart, but my authentic heart. They are there as a rendezvous with me and me with them. I do not take this lightly. I do not take small things, seemingly small things, lightly. I tried to teach you, all things have neither a beginning nor an end. They are a continuum. All things are. And either they're going to be a matter of consequence or the matter of love. Beautiful, beautiful love. That is arrived through consciousness. Consciousness is the only way you will ever feel the presence of love within you. And in that presence, you will be able to share it with everyone and anyone. Whether they believe you or not, whether they understand it or not, that is unimportant. What is important is that you understand that the T of your brain, your thoughts, are running over and you are missing the point of your entire life. So I have created this simple statement, let love live you. Instead of allowing your body to live you, your thoughts to live you, let love live you. Yes. In that love, there's a tremendous goodness. Let's meditate together, you and I. I love doing. All things have neither a beginning nor an end.